Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, thank God we get to look into the Word again today. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost has been teaching and revealing things. Hallelujah. We're just going to follow along today. We're talking about following the law of faith. There's a number of things we got into it, and the Lord has gotten over and was speaking to me while we were on vacation. And I had said there was a number of mornings in the nighttime that I woke up, and God was speaking to me. He would speak to me about certain things, certain scriptures, and I knew when He talked about some things, I needed to be good to go into emphasize. Last week we had looked into things. We basically dealt with Mark 11, 22 through 24, which we look at in Mark 11, 22 says, Jesus answered, said to them, have faith in God. We talked about it. It literally, the literal translation is have the faith of God. And see, that's what you get. Faith comes by hearing. It's God's faith is what you get. That's what you end up with. You know, our God is the God that speaks concerning Abraham. Over in the book of Romans, it says He calls those things that don't exist as though they do. This is what faith is. Faith is about saying what you don't see, not what you see or what you feel. See, people want to talk about having faith, but they're always talking about how they feel, whatever else is going on. And then they say, I'm trusting God. I'm sorry. You can't run those two together. And see, we need to understand that the strange things about faith, you know, we talk about a God we can't see. You know, it's funny, all these nations and stuff out here and people worship different gods. And the church is always the one criticized for worshiping a God you can't see. And they all worship God you can't see. No, it's because of the spirit of Antichrist. And, you know, that's what it is. It ain't got nothing. It's just because you were Christians. That's why. You know, so, you know, don't let all that throw you. You know, it ain't nothing but the devil working in them. And, you know, and the devil worked in me when I wasn't saved. So it's no surprise. But we found out in really what the law of faith is. Mark 11, 23 is the law of faith. That's how faith works. It's the law. Now, you have to get this. Number one, when the Lord, you know, woke me up in the mornings, He talked about it. He said, many people... And I believe He was mostly speaking to me concerning even the spirit-filled people. He said, they believe my word. They believe that what is said is true. But He said, they're not walking in truth. He said, it doesn't do them any good to believe what's true. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do us any good to believe that something's true. Somehow we really got over into that. I don't know what took it off for things. It's like I had said, talked about this before some years back. They did a thing and said 80% of Americans believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I just laughed and roared because it doesn't do them any good to believe the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is of no value unless you follow what it says. You do it. Amen. Believing something is of no value unless you do it.
Amen.
It has no value. We made great value, and it's been by a lot of the teaching on the subject of faith. We made this thing say, people, are you a believer? I want to know if you're a doer. That's what I want to know.
Amen.
We have loads of believers, few doers. Loads of believers. Hey, I know people who are not saved and they believe that the Bible's true. They believe you need to be saved. Well, they believe the right thing. Are they saved? No. We have gotten people along just believing something means somehow you're attached to it. No, you're not. See, that's what fans are sitting up. Somehow they get up there and they're up there in the stands and they're screaming and yelling and hollering. They somehow think they're identified with that person on the field doing that stuff. No, you ain't. They're getting the paycheck and they're getting all the glory for it, and you're up here spending the money to make sure they get all the glory and the paycheck. You're not identified with them other than the fact you're cheering for them, but that's it. What's the benefit you get? We don't get any benefit from them. It's all your emotion of what you're doing at the time. And when you go home, the emotion goes and your money's gone and you're, you paid 20 bucks for a hot dog and 20 bucks for a beer. Wasn't that fun? I'll tell you what, we had a great time. Wow, we had a great time out there. We're done. My wallet's empty and wow, we just, just glad to get that thing emptied. It was heavy. I'll tell you what, it weighed a lot. But there's this principle of faith, and what that is Jesus said to this, and if Jesus said it, you know, don't come and ask me if I think that it's true. Jesus said it, this is the truth. If you have another opinion, I'll just tell you this, I ain't interested.
Amen. Amen.
This is settled. Jesus said it, and Jesus said this concerning faith and what faith is. Jesus said, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, it does not doubt in his heart, but believes what those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The principle of faith is this, is you have something in your heart that you believe, and you do not doubt it. Now understand, he's talking about, he opened up, he's talking about faith in God. He's not talking about you with whatever you have in your mind you want to do. He's talking about faith in God. So in other words, the only way you can have faith in God is faith in God's Word. You have to know His Word. So, you know, people, it's always good to have this. I've had ministers over the years, they always put, well, you believe this faith stuff, and he said, you just believe you can have whatever you want. Well, you know, what I want to believe for 10 wives. Well, you can't do that in being the Bible. See, it takes an idiot. See, you know, he's in left field. He's crazy. You know, a person who thinks like that, I'm hard for me to believe that, you know, they could be saved because you're too dumb to get saved. You know, we say something like that. We're talking about faith in God's Word. This is what we're talking about. We aren't talking about faith in the world and what the world wants. We're not talking about faith in the devil's kingdom. People have faith in it. We're talking about faith in the Word of God. In other words, we find out what God's Word says, and whatever you believe that that says, you can stand in faith. So what you believed it? Now, Jesus made this statement. He said, you could actually do this. And you understand, you're a person in the earth. In this earth, man has dominion. Not God. When people say God's in control, they say God has dominion. Well, no, He doesn't. He gave dominion away to man. God doesn't have control. If God had control and hadn't given dominion to man, Satan wouldn't be messing with nothing today. God would have done chucked him out. That'd have been it. He'd have never got in here and said nothing. Satan got in through man's dominion. That's how he got here. That's how he got operational. That's how he got to work in here. And understand it, it never changed. The devil gets into my life and he can rule and reign. It's because I have given him dominion. It's not because God did anything or whatever it is. It's not God. It's about me. We have dominion. Get that thinking. Because in this earth, this is a phenomenal statement. He said, if you say to this mountain, they were standing on top of the Mount of Olives. He said, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, you don't doubt your heart. It's going to happen. It'll obey you. Say, you need to understand this. We don't frivolously do this. You'll find this out. Things will not work for you in faith if you're trying to show off to people. Amen. This is why a lot of people don't want. They try to use faith to make themselves look like they're a big deal. Well, your faith ain't going to work well. You know? Some people, you know, they want to get healed to prove something to somebody else. Why don't you just prove yourself before God and get healed? Or trying to prove something to somebody else. I always see people doing that, trying to prove something to somebody else. It's like to me, I don't have to prove nothing to nobody else. Hallelujah. God's Word works. They'll see it. I don't have to go out and stick my finger in your eye and get them to look over here at me. We're using things of God to try to draw attention to ourselves. We're not going to do that. We're called to draw attention to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We draw attention to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify Jesus. Magnify Jesus. I was thinking about that this morning because Wanda and I have, I've talked to you folks about it. There's a minister, his name's Christopher Alam, and Wanda and I have been supporting him for years, and Christopher has an absolutely phenomenal ministry. Most of the big ministries on TV today don't have a close to him in ministry, and you don't hear about him. Why? Because he'll not glorify himself. He won't do it. He will not do it. He don't do it. He don't make no big name. It's like he said, we just got a thing with him. He has some things. I'm going to print them. I'll print one of them out for you guys to read. But he was talking about his life and the dedication and stuff that him and his wife made on things. And he said, we dedicate ourselves. We're not using the ministry's money to give ourselves a big lifestyle. He said, we don't do that. Don't use ministry money to do that. He lets the ministers do that. They've used their ministries get a lot of money. And they get a lot of their money from the ministry. It's coming out, and they're doing it from that stand, giving themselves a big lifestyle. He said, we decided we weren't going to, he said, we don't live a greater lifestyle than the people who turn around and give to us and things like that. He said, you know, Brother Hagin talked about those things, about people and about money. He said, ministers and their lifestyles, he said, they're living. He said, it isn't good. He said, that's how people get more interested in the money and everything. You see, we're in a lot of trouble for our nation and even in the church world because the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. You know, we're talking about here in Pennsylvania, and we even have conservatives. We're losing money by the states around us having legalized marijuana. We lose money. So we need to legalize marijuana so we can get money. Love of money is the root of all evil. And let me tell you, most people love money. That's why there's so much evil. They love money. They'll do anything. They'll do what's not good for this state or this nation to get money. You know? Hey, there are states that have legalized prostitution. Why? Well, if we legalize it, we can get money out of it. See, we can tax it. We get them casinos going. And stuff. We can tax it and get money. You know? We turn around and the states turn around and legalize gambling, and then turn around and tax the gambling people to take money to help the people who are addicted to gambling. They set up programs. There are programs now. And they tell you about it. Yeah, if you're having a gambling problem, you know, come to this program and we'll try to, you know, help you out. I mean, they know it messes people's lives up. And you know what? Both sides are for it. Why? Money! Okay, we're going to stop right now and take an offering. You know, we're going to... You know, that's one thing happened back in the 1950s. One of the things happened. I watched a video of a phenomenal thing. God did a miracle. I mean, he healed... A guy got up and walked who was really... He looked like a skeleton with skin wrapped on it. And this minister walked out. God had used him powerfully. He was a prophet. And said, the Lord told me that this man's going to get up and walk off of here and that stuff. This guy was unable to eat. He could, you know, anything he tried to eat, he'd throw it up and things. And he was laid out on a stretcher. I mean, he looked bad. You know, this was death. And he said, the Lord told me, he walked out there. When he walked out on the stage, he had a bottle of milk and a sandwich. And he set it down beside this guy. And he said, before we leave, this guy's going to drink this milk, eat this sandwich, and he's going to get up and walk around. He said, that's what's going to happen. See, God's around. Well, that same minister, he went and did that. I mean, I watched the video of it, and this was back in the 1950s, early 50s. And I saw the video was taken of him. And he was out there, and what he'd do is he was there, he'd preach some, and all of a sudden he'd stop, he'd walk and lay hands on this guy and pray for him, and then he'd go back and start preaching again. He would walk over and he'd pray for this guy, and then he'd go back preaching again. Finally, he just stopped and told this guy, get up. This guy got up, he told him, drink that milk and eat that sandwich. And that guy, number one, I couldn't believe the guy got up. There ain't no natural reason. He didn't have enough muscles on his body to get up, man. He got up, and this guy's walking around there. I mean, he's like, I mean, he has skin and bone. I mean, dear God. I mean, just, and he got up, ate the sandwich, and walked all around the stage. And you know what the minister did? Stopped and took an offering. You see, ministries learn things about it. See, God moves, and they learn this. You know, people's motion. One of the things God told Kenneth Hagin, he said, never take money from an individual when you turn around and you know, heal them. It's like people. So Jesus told him this in a vision. He said, people like have a sick child, and he said, I heal them. He said, they would give you almost anything you'd ask for just because their child got healed. He said, you take regular offerings in a meeting and do like you're supposed to, but he said, you don't do that stuff. You don't do those kind of things. Because why? They're not given by faith. They're given by the emotion of a person. God wants to bless people. Too many people want blessed, and they don't care whether anybody else gets blessed besides them. And so we need to be careful about these things, our whole attitudes and this kind of stuff, because a lot of it stinks today. We're in America. We measure success by the amount of money and that stuff. We have this day that they talk about free enterprise. Anything most of the big businesses in America don't want is free enterprise. They're nothing but they're welfare companies. They're getting all kind of money from the government. The government's giving them money. And they're turning around and say free enterprise. When we quit giving them money, we'll get some free enterprise. Other than that, we ain't got it. Amen. See, we got this stuff going on and we got a false economy. We got a false banking system that is run off of free money from the government dumping in. Government's been upholding the stock market. The government has. Dumping money into this stuff. Our government's making things look good. It ain't good. We're taking money. It ain't worth nothing to hold things up. That's like taking rotten wood, you know, and putting the foundation in your house and expect the rest of it to stand up. That's good preaching, folks. I don't know. I don't think you'll get a lot of conservatives want to hear it either. You know? So we got all this stuff about, you know, free. I believe in free enterprise, but I'd like to live in a country that had it. I want to get there. You know what? The honest companies have a hard time. Honest companies have a hard time. Why? Because you got all these, you folks, if you ever realize the amount of money that's going into companies, welfare companies, talking about, you know, well, they shouldn't be taxing us. You taking our money. We ought to be making money off you. You want me to be president? Company wants money? Hey, you're either going to give a stock for that money because the people are going to get something back. You ain't inventing things and making money and the people not getting money back from it. All that money we dumped into this COVID thing shot, and the government didn't, they've made billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars, and the taxpayers got nothing out of it. And you know what? Both parties did it. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Hallelujah. I love the life of faith. The life of faith puts me in a place to depend on God. It puts me in a place that I have to humble myself before God. It keeps me in a place where I'm Ed and I ain't God. And I'm not chasing somebody else around to bless me, you know? And there's lots of people that talk about being blessed. Well, if the government wasn't doing something for them, they wouldn't have no blessing at all. They're taking other people's monies and tax dollars and everything else of the people who are doing something, and they're turning around living off of it, talking around being blessed. Yeah. I had a woman one time. Government came in. She wouldn't work, and her husband is a mess. Anyhow, government came in and did all kind of put new windows in their house, did all this stuff. She says, blessed. I said, blessed? I said, you can be a devil worshiper and get that from the government if you don't work and you don't do nothing. I said, you ain't blessed. I said, God didn't do that for you. I said, you got that done because you don't have nothing and do nothing. I said, it's very simple. I said, this ain't hard to figure out. God didn't bless you. That was man's blessing. You see, we live in a socialistic country. It is socialistic, and it is by both parties. Both parties do the same things and that. Keep wanting to give people stuff they didn't do nothing. And they both do it. It's socialistic. And then they yell at each other about stuff. And what good does it do? See, this life of faith over here, God has set a principle. And I want you to get a hold of this. He has established this principle here that he says to an individual that if you believe something in your heart, you take the word of God, whatever it is, you believe it in your heart. You don't doubt it. You say it. It's going to happen. You don't need a nickel to do it. Ain't that phenomenal? You can give money away and do it. Wow. Think about that. This is God's system, but we as a nation and a people and even the church world has headed a completely different direction and then talk about faith. We know very little about it. We talk about trusting God. People know very little about trusting God. There's a lot of things we trust. This is one of the things that the Lord was dealing with me about in his mornings, about people have moved away from the foundations of faith. You know, when I came in the kingdom, and they're like, when Mike and me, we were stupid. We just believed the Bible. We just thought, oh my God, we would pray for anything. You know, just, you know, my God, if it didn't even have to move, we'd lay hands on it and pray for it. It didn't matter. But we were believing God to do things. It's amazing the stuff that God did. It was amazing all the wonderful things that God accomplished and did. But see, we were just trusting God. We didn't have a focus in another direction. We didn't expect somebody else to do something else for us. We didn't expect that. Our expectation was toward God. We were just dumb. And God's dealing with that. See, people moved away, and today it's the big deal of, I believe. He said, they believe, but it don't do nothing. It don't work. What do we care if it don't work? What does it matter? Well, going through the rituals of things. I remember back when I came in the kingdom, they would talk about the things, we were called word people, We were word people. We were word people. And we weren't like them other folks in those other churches who don't believe the word, We're word people. We believe the full gospel. And I found this out, they didn't even know what the full gospel was. I believe everything in the Bible is true. Well, I believe it's true too, but I don't know it all. I can't live it all. I'm learning new things all the time. I'm learning things all the time, developing all the time. It's part of what we go through in this stage. But there's one thing about it. I found this out. If you go through a stage and you're not really doing, you're slowly dropping back. You're not going ahead. There's no way that you cannot practice the word and still stay where you are. You don't practice. And it's one thing God's dealing with. See, people got away with, I believe this is true. I believe that's true. And he said, they believe it's true and they're right, but that's not what they're doing. They're not, their actions are not in line with that. Hallelujah. They aren't believing it's coming to pass. Hallelujah. They'll believe it when I see it or when I feel it. Hallelujah. This foundation of 23 is the basis for prayer. It's the basis for prayer. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Whatever you ask for, you got to believe you receive it at the time that you pray, that God gave it to you. That's what you have to believe. You don't believe, he'll give it to me sometime. No, you believe you receive it. I got it right now. Hallelujah. God gave it to me. And from then on, you should never, ever talk any different. Because if you do, you just kick faith under the bus. You need to understand that. We kick faith under the bus. When we start talking like, God, this, that, the other thing. See, we have all these things that people over the years. In other words, the Bible tells us through faith and patience. All the time is my patience is this. Number one, if you don't have faith, you will never have patience. If you have a patience problem, you got a faith problem. When you really believe something wrong belongs to you, you'll stand. It's one thing it is. See, like I have a car out here in the lot, and that thing, I have a title to it. Somebody come along and say, I'm going to take this car and this other. I'll tell you what, I got a title to that car. I'm not going to go lay down, things just happen and go. This is what people do with their faith. They say about faith, but they really didn't have faith. See, if you really got, if you believe it and don't doubt it, you won't care what anybody else does. That belongs to me, that's mine. You understand that your deed to what you ask for is your faith. That's your deed. If you don't believe you have it, you ain't got a deed. This is Bible. You ain't got the deed. I think the Amplified says that concerning in Hebrews 11, first chapter. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. You don't ever get the title, it don't belong to you. If you don't believe you have the title, it does not belong to you. It's not yours. You got to believe you're yours. That's believe and don't doubt. That's what that is. See, it's mine. God said it's mine, so I said I got the title to it. See, it's mine, it belongs to me. I don't see any of my money in the bank. I don't see a bit of it. I don't see any of my money that's invested. I don't see nothing. We don't see none of that. We got papers they sign. We believe those. See, we believe, we trust that those papers that we get, those things, there are a deed in of what we have there. See, I can take that down to the bank and I can take, we'd fall for the bank in a minute, but the Bible, well, now that's another thing, My God, God is good, but he ain't that good. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says maybe. Sometimes he just leaves town and lets you alone. Hallelujah. He's trying to teach you hard-headed things sometimes. But sometimes in a preaching standpoint, don't that make you feel that way? We're not drudging through anything. So you need to, my faith is my title. It's my ability to stand. I could go out here and I could go out here and go to a company and I could go down and buy, go to another, not even have to go to another state. I could buy property and do all kinds of things. I could buy it, pay for them. I could never go there and even visit it, but I could get deeds to those properties. Never see them. They belong to me. I don't have to see them for I know it belongs to me. I got the deed. That's what faith's about. People are always waiting to see something. Then they're going to believe they got the deed. I got it now. I have it. No, I'm sorry. You got it. You got to believe you have it now. See, get that in your mind. You're not waiting for it. You're not believing for the manifestation now. No place in the Bible ever tells you to do such a thing. See, that's another thing because, see, I haven't got it yet. So I'm believing for the manifestation. I don't have the deed yet. When I get the manifestation, I'll have the deed. Now think about that. But I've, over the years, I've hollered all this stuff taught. I've heard all this stuff said. And I've watched it. It hasn't worked for people. It hasn't worked. Hallelujah. I like what works. What Jesus says works. I don't need to add to nor take away from it. If I keep it simple just like it is. Can you imagine Jesus? He made these statements to these disciples. They ain't even born again yet. He's telling them up on the mountain, you can do this now. You ain't even born again. You can do this. We as Christians think it's some kind of a big deal. It's the norm. It's normal. It's the way it is. It's not some kind of thing that this is how faith works in the earth when man has dominion. Jesus just told them the dominion they had, already had, always belonged to them that they have never operated in. And the average Christian, a spirit-filled Christian, has never walked in the dominion they have. Never walked in it. They never walk in it. Always waiting for God to give them something. And all the time. Jesus took concerning His authority. All authority in heaven and earth I'm giving to you. All authority. What? Oh my. See, dominion was given to man. But man has not walked. The world has understood dominion better than the church. Christians, for some reason, are always waiting for God to do something and never taking their authority. They don't take their authority to do it. We're called to be leaders, and you know what? You know, in a sense, you know, I can understand why Jesus called, you know, people sheep, because sheep are dumb. They're dumb. Sheep will let a wolf go over and a flock will get real close together and allow the wolf to walk right over top of the flock to pick out which one it wants. My God, the church does that all the time. They invite the wolf. God's trying to teach us something. We're supposed to resist the devil. He's like a roaring lion looking who he may devour. And the church is saying, over here, over here. Come eat me. Don't eat me. It's dominion. I mean, think about yourself. Man has dominion in the earth. We need to understand this. How can the world in our nation do, how can they do the things that they do? They're taking hold of dominion. They won't let loose of things. The church will. The church will calmly sit by and let everything go to hell in a handbasket. Yep. We're just being so nice. We'll take those heathens and feed them and keep them alive and keep them going and give them money so they can keep attacking. Oh, we're so darn loving. Oh, we gave up the word no. There's things I will not put up with. Things I will not do. In the church world, just think about Paul. Wrote to the church at Corinth. He named certain types of sin and stuff in the church of people who call themselves a Christian. It says a so-called Christian. If they do these things, don't even as much as eat with them. Today we make ministries to them. We do all this kind of stuff. We don't stop and say, no, no more of this. Christians get over into immorality. Don't come and hang around Ed. I'll tell you, hey, you either repent of this stuff. You used to, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. This is why in the church world, our faith don't work because we've allowed sin in. We pamper sin. We're ministering to people. No, there's things you just quit. You know, I don't cheat on my wife near as much as I used to. I'm getting better. I'm trying to quit. God understands. Hey, you left. That's the church world today. They'll let that scumbag live in the middle of them, and it'll get on other people, and other people will start getting into those sins. The dirt you let in you is what you're going to live with. I'll just be honest with you. If my kids were doing stuff like calling themselves a Christian, I'd tell them, don't come to my house. You either knock it off or you ain't coming around me. You ain't bringing your dirt, and I have enough trouble with the devil without inviting him to my house. Don't call yourself a Christian and live like hell and say, oh, you know, we'll go over to Hang at Ed's house. No, you won't. I ain't as much. If God ain't fellowship with you, I ain't either. And the Bible says He's not. If you say, that's first chapter John's about. If you're in sin and saying you're okay, you're a liar. If you say you're in sin and you fellowship with God, you're a liar. God ain't fellowshipping with you. Hallelujah! See, there's things we need to deal with, and we don't. You know what? That's why the world there's no God can't step in when we've turned around and let the devil in. We want the devil to quit while we invite him in. Devil, you can live in my house, just don't cause me trouble. We'll let you use the upstairs bedroom in the back, okay? But just don't come downstairs. Well, he's the devil. He's coming downstairs. He's a liar. He'll be in the kitchen before you in the morning. Hallelujah. Boy, this is good preaching. I tell you. Anyhow. Now I want to go on because I want you to do something, and it's one of the things the Lord spoke to me about to do. It's one of the things that people have difficulty in faith because they don't really spend time in meditation on what they need to be meditating on. Now when I talk about meditation, I'm talking about the thing, meditation isn't just, it's not, you know, if all you're doing is reading the Bible and reading scriptures, you'll probably not do too well. You got to be saying them. Faith comes by hearing. You need to be speaking things out. See, one of the things that I do with myself a lot when I'm reading the Bible, I read it out loud to me. I read it out loud. But not only that, I meditated. You know, I'll get stuck on a scripture, and that maybe for weeks and weeks on end. That scripture always comes to me, and I'm talking that scripture. See, what you need to begin is to start to talk about your answer. And you need to be the things that's on your mouth about your answer. You know, it's just like this. You know, a doctor gives a medication, and what that physical medication is supposed to do something in your body. Now, he'll give you that, and then you have a certain times that you're supposed to take that. And so they tell you that because you have to take it so if you want to get a certain result. They don't tell you, you know, whenever you feel like it, just take it. It'll work. Well, I'm going to tell you what. People will listen to the doctor. He's God. But they will not every day. They don't have no systematic thing about the Bible. They don't have one or two times, three times a day with God in meditation on what they need to overcome. They don't do it at all. Woo! But they want the result. It ain't coming. It ain't coming. You got to sit down. You know, when you're in a battle, you know what? You don't go home for a break. You better stay and fight. Because when you leave, what happens? The enemy, he builds up. See, when you're in a fight, but especially a fight, whatever it is in your life that you're dealing with, something that's hard, difficult that you're dealing with, you need to have scripture to stand on concerning what God says. And that's a thing you need to keep in front of you because, see, you know, you're going to always have to show the devil your certificate of ownership. He's a liar and a fraud. He's always going to be there trying to tell you. He's always going to be talking to you. Well, I tell you, if you believed you're healed, why don't you feel better? He'll get you that in your mind, and you're walking around, well, and you'll go on, and you'll start thinking that. Slowly, it's eating at your faith. You're not confessing anymore. You have your confession becomes, I believe I'm healed. But don't bring a bit of joy to you. It doesn't bring any satisfaction. We're just mimicking and saying something because we've allowed things to get into our mind to torment us. See, you have to keep a meditation. You keep something in front of you. You know, when Wanda did the thing, you know, with concerning her, she came along and they found on her breast, they found a lump and they said, you know, there was cancerous and that stuff. You know, it's one of the things she did. She got into the words, you know, I have a thing on my laptop, but also I have this big book and it's just all the scriptures in the Bible and about 400 translations on healing scriptures. And she just took that and just over and over, just healing scriptures all the time. See, you should, if you're really dealing with something, you should be taking God's word more than you're taking medicine. Amen. If you're not, I know what you believe. Now, I ain't against taking medicine. You may need the help to get you, I ain't against that. But you're going to have to get God's word and keep it on your mouth, your mouth. If you want to move a mountain, you're going to move it with your heart and your mouth. You're not going to read to the mountain. He didn't say that. You're not going to read to the mountain. Get that inside of you. I want you to see this because go over to Matthew the 7th chapter. The reason I'm saying this is because I want you to look at these scriptures. You need to meditate on things. Number one, people are trying. This is one of the things the Lord dealt with me. People are trying to move into an area of faith, and they ain't even so sure of God's answering a prayer. They ain't even so sure of it. They are not convinced. You need to this. If you're going to win a battle, or you're going to win a prayer battle or a confession battle, you got to know when you step in the door and you start that you know it's yours. This is your thing. You're going to have this. You need to get that settled in you. If you don't, man, everything wears on you. I mean, ain't nothing worse than sitting there and you're not convinced and you're going through the motions of faith without really believing you got it. This is one of the things that I think it really helped me starting off, and I know with Mike and them too. When we started off, there were certain foundational things that were really being put unto us at the time. And we've left these things today, and we don't. Things that Jesus said. In Matthew the 7th chapter, in the 7th verse, I'm going to read 7 and 8. Matthew the 7th chapter in 7 and 8. I want you to do this because the Lord, it's really prompted me, tell you to meditate on these scriptures. Because everything you're going to do is founded in this. It's founded in this. Your prayer life, your confession life is founded in these scriptures. And you need to get a hold of that fact. Hallelujah. That, you know, you don't have to look to somebody, you know, some big name minister or something like that. Jesus said these things and they are said to just individuals. They're spoken out. He said to the disciples, Jesus said this. Listen to this. Jesus said, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. What did he say? Ask and it will be given to you. He didn't say it might. It could. It should. Could show up some. He said it will. You know, really, from a vernacular standpoint, there ain't a stronger thing than you can say and will. It will. That's will. This will happen. See, do you believe that when you asked? Did you believe it will and that's it? There couldn't be another thing said about it? See, you need to meditate to you when you ask, when you prayed, you don't think any other way than in fact, this will be done for me. You wouldn't have any other thought along the line about that. Now he said, what happens? Seek and, you know what, you might find it, you just never know. You know, some people find it and some don't. No, he said, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Do you need anything else? See, now I want to understand this. Things that you're praying about, are you believing in this manner? Now this is not criticism. You need to meditate on it to you. This to you is the only, no, and when I ask for it, I got it. It's mine. God gave it to me. But you don't think any other way. That's faith. That's what faith is. I don't doubt. I have no doubt. God, I'm talking to God. God's helping me out. That's it. What I ask for, He's doing. He said this. Now listen. Listen to what he says. For everyone who asks receives. Do you know what? You know what he's saying there? Everybody who asks, God gives it to them. They may not take it. See, I can say, just like here today, I mean, I could do this down here. I could go on here to people and I say, here, take this Bible. Person, now, hey, I'm giving it to you. Now, person, that's on their side. Are you going to take it? People never take it. They ask. God says they receive. I give it to them. When they ask, I say, here, you can have it. They don't take it. Oh, when I feel better, I believe God gave it to me. When this happens or that, when the money shows up, then I believe God did it. You know, when my situation changes, then I'm going to believe. You know? You know, we sing in a song, let the weak say I'm strong. Constantly, the weak say I'm weak. Oh, I feel so weak. I don't let those things come out of my voice. When I'm feeling weak, I just thank God I'm strong. Hallelujah. And then I'd go do something. You know, talk's cheap. Hey, talk is not cheap if it has the actions behind it. Mm-hmm. Say, well, I just feel so weak. I feel so weak, I can't do it. No, praise God. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the poor say I'm poor. You know, you just don't know how poor I need to go. You know, I'm just poor. Well, you'll constantly be poor. You'll constantly be weak. That's what's going to happen. That's your confession. You're going to have exactly what you say and believe. That's what you have. Hallelujah. See, faith says things, calls things that don't exist as though they do. Faith calls yourself strong when your body says, don't you get it, dummy, I'm weak. See, my heart can't hear you, I'm sorry. My heart ain't listening. My heart don't know what you're saying at all. My heart says, we're strong, glory to God. Same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead's in me, making my body alive. Hallelujah. No, I'm going to agree with, I'm weak. Hallelujah. See, we go, there's a lot of things I often think about it, because I was thinking, you know, some people going through things, and I think, well, they sing songs, and they're singing songs that say things. People don't believe it at all. We sing them and say, that's a good song. Yeah? Was it good enough to believe true? And act on it? Hallelujah! But I mean, look at this phenomenal statement that Jesus said. Everyone who asks receives. Everybody who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Amen. Jesus said all those things. Do you think he lied? No. Did Jesus lie? No. Yet, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes, you know. It's just like, I mean, I had an individual call and ask one time, this is some years back, ask for prayer. A Rhema graduate. Hallelujah. Wants prayer. Wants me to agree with them on something. Tells me what they want to agree on with them and then says, but now look, I don't want anything God don't want me to have. Well, if you don't know what God wants you to have, you don't have faith. You can't have faith in what you don't know belongs to you. You can't trust God for what you don't know you can have. That's an impossibility. You know? Now, I want you to get a hold of this because, and we might talk about this some eventually, but I see people do this kind of thing, and you need to be careful in this of what you're talking about, what you mean, you say it. You know, when I'm going through something, I'll make a confession. Now, I hear people say this, well, I'm just putting myself in God's hands. Well, for hands for what? That wasn't a confession of anything. That wasn't what you were believing, what you believe for your outcome. I'm going to put my God in my... I know people have done that. I did their funerals. Put yourself in the hands of God. That don't... God, he didn't tell us to do that. He told us to confess what we want. And believe and receive it. That's what we do. That's Bible. They used a thing at one time Jesus said when he committed himself to the world. That was about going to the cross and dying. Is that what you're going to do? See, I commit myself. Look, I commit myself to the Word of God. God said this. I said what I believe, and I'm committing myself to God in this. He's going to carry that out. Is that what we're saying? No, I'm just going to commit myself to God. And what that basically means is, you know, He'll take care of whatever. It's going to go His way. No, it might go His way at all. That isn't what we do. The Bible tells us what you want and desire. Find out in the Bible what it says and you claim it as yours. That's what you do. Faith is specific, not general. Get that in yourself. Faith is, ask God specifically, believe for specifically what you want. I like a story Randall Greer told about an airplane. You know, he kept going to the Lord about a bit with an airplane and asking the Lord about an airplane. And, Lord, I need an airplane and blah, 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 blah. And finally, the Lord stopped. He said, why do you keep talking to me about an airplane? He said, God said, you know, because he would do this. Well, Lord, whatever you want me to have. And the Lord said, I don't fly planes. I don't need one. He said, you need one. And this is what he said to him. He said, what is Mark 11:24? Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. He said, ask what you want. He said, you find out what kind of plane you want. Whatever you want on that plane. Now, he said, you got to know this. You got to be able to believe for whatever it is you want. You got to be able to believe for it. Whatever your faith will reach to, he said, you can get. Did you know that? You can get whatever your faith can reach to. You can. You can have whatever your faith reaches to. See, people aren't really they don't have a specific. People are too general. They're asking for things. Well, God, I'm believing God for a car. Where'd he get? Whatever he wants to give me. Well, there's this car down there that just got nailed by a tractor trailer. They'll be sending it over soon. It's a car. It is a car. I need a car. See, we don't have this thing about being specific. Why would he say what the things that you ask when you ask? Doesn't it seem like a bit? Well, what are you asking for specific? What do you really want? You have the dominion to ask. Think about that. This is God did this. See, we always back off. Like we talk, like seeing, like, you know, Mike, you know, was talking about, you know, things, you know, today up here, you know, he gets saved and this and that. But you know, we're singing songs here and to talk about, you know, righteousness. You know, you get over there. Am I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Am I really the righteousness of God? Am I really that? See, we don't approach God like we're righteous. He's made us righteous like He is. We approach Him like a slave. We ask like a slave. Well, you know, He might smack me on the head if I could. Maybe I'll ask for too much. I'm just going to tell this. You can't even believe for too much. You ain't got that much faith. Don't put that on yourself. You ain't near as bright as you think you are. When you make statements like that, you really minimize as far as you can go. I'm going to ask too much like you could believe it. Go ahead and ask for the too much. I want to see you get it. Oh, man, this is good preaching. Hallelujah. Anyhow. So. See, we need to clear this up. When we talk about faith and doing stuff, I mean, we need to think. God has opened up this door to humanity. And, man, we have barely stepped into it. The humans have barely stepped, and somehow think, oh, we got some. We believe things. We can't do a darn thing, but we believe a lot of stuff. We need to have the boldness to go through the door. We need to quit worrying about those around and whether people in the world think you're crazy because the way you believe. I don't care. If they think I'm a pretty nice guy, I know I'm probably living for the devil. If they think my beliefs sound pretty good, then I know I'm living for the devil. We're an extreme.
Amen.
We're running contrary. We're living in a kingdom that's not able to be seen, that will produce what we want seen here. This is where we're living at. I don't have to explain it to them. I don't have to try to get them to understand. Just hide and watch. Just hide and watch. Just hide and watch. You'll see it come to pass.
Amen.
That's where we're living. Amen. We're too tied to the natural. Our faith is so tied to the natural. We think getting things, getting money, getting healing, like it's some kind of big deal. Ain't no big deal. My God, to me, the big deal is God would have saved me. Dear Lord, that was a big deal. you know, how could God go to the thing to save me and make me one of his child and healing something big? Healing is spit in comparison. If God won't heal after he gave you his best to deliver you from sin, he was stupid. You know, I'll give you the million over here, but you only have two nickels over there. This is what it's all about. We got weird thinking. And that weird thing, preaching, we're religious minds. Too many of us is, like I know, dealing with it. You know, sometimes I can't believe how stuff that I was told years ago as a kid and stuff raised up in a church, things that try to come back to haunt you to rob your faith out of you. And if you can't find that in yourself, you're in trouble. Because there's things you'll never grow past. You want to grow past. Listen to this. Matthew 21, verse 22. And whatever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you might get it. You never know. Sometimes. He said, this is Jesus. Would Jesus lie? He said, you will receive. If I ask, I will receive it. I will. You see, you can stand strong, patiently if you believe this stuff. You can stand and say, hey, it hasn't showed up. It's mine. I know it. Jesus said. See, to say anything else or act in another manner is to say Jesus lied. Did Jesus lie? No. Let God be true and every man a liar. I've had to repent for lying, acting like what the Word said wasn't true. If you ain't ever repented of that, you need to start. Acting like it wasn't true, acting like you didn't get it, no, I got it. It belongs to me. It's mine. My faith claimed it. I hold the title to it. I hold it. Faith is my title deed to what I ask for. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. I got the deed the day I prayed. I don't get the deed sometime later on when it shows up. Because it will never show up if you don't hold the deed. Never shows up. Hallelujah. Many times people got blessed, healed, or delivered by God's mercy. And they thought it was because they were such faithful faith people. And they didn't have no faith at all in it. God was just being good. He's taking care of babies. He did that for me growing up. He took care of me. I was a baby. And he would do things for me. And as I started growing in faith, I look back and think, oh my God. He did that for me. It wasn't my great faith. It's just cause I was your goo goo da da, you know, in faith world. That's where I was, you know. You're stumbling around. And he said, just like we do with little kids. You know, little kid trips and fall. We don't knock him on the head. We pick him up, sit him on the feet. And go, you're going to fall again. Get over it. You think God don't know that about you? You were going to trip and fall? You think he didn't know that? Yeah. Is he the dad that kicks you when you're down? No. No, there's enough people in the church to do that. Ah, hallelujah. Go to John 15. See, these are scriptures. I love these scriptures. These are the things that make me confident. Because when I get over and any kind of doubts or things come along, I can come over, I go to these scriptures, and I stand here. Why? This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. See, if you abide in me, well, are you born again? Any man, Mike read it this morning, in Christ. You're in him. What? The word abides in you. See, the word's in you. It's in your spirit. What are you talking about? If you say and don't doubt in your heart. See, in your heart. The word's in your heart. It's in your heart. He didn't say, well, the word in your head, and your head's agreeing with you. No. He said, it shall be done for you. Now listen to this. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You know what's qualification for discipleship? Answer prayer.
Amen.
So he said here, the fact that your prayers get answered glorifies God. People are always trying to glorify God just in worship services. And then what happens? There's no glory in their life at all for God. And they're talking about they worship God. No. Your prayer life, getting answers to prayers, glorify God. God says here in this, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. He said, hey, whatever it is that you ask or you desire, it's going to be done for you. This is yours. By this, God says, I'm glorified. I'm glorified when you get your prayers answered. I'm glorified. Hallelujah. Oh no, God gets glory in making you sick to teach you something. Bible says that nowhere. Majority of Christians believe it. And then talk about, we believe the Bible. You can't believe that way and have any kind of prayer life that's going to have any success. You can't believe that God's holding back from you. You can't believe that. This is one thing I've learned along my Christian walk. If it ain't working, it's always Ed's fault. God is always right. He always does what's right. Where have I missed it? This is where people, we have a Christianity that has turned the table on the thing. It's God's in control, so therefore if it goes wrong, it was Him. That is an easy way of escape for people to not take responsibility. Sounds like the American government. You know, our nation would be better if our government wasn't messed up. Our nation can't get better because it has messed up people. The people have made it a mess. The government didn't make it a mess. The people made it a mess and blame the government. People didn't walk with God. People didn't stand and believe God. The Christians did. And let everything go to hell in a handbasket. That's good preaching, folks. Look at the authority that we have. Look at what is given. This is Jesus saying. Jesus said, I'm glorified. Why? He called this bearing much fruit. You're supposed to have a fruitful prayer life. It's supposed to work. God has given us a way to have a fruitful prayer life. A prayer life that works. He's handed it to us. Here He says, this is yours. I want you to have this. I'm glorified when it works. Do this. John 16, verse 23. Jesus talking to His disciples. This is before they went to the garden. And He's going to end up praying there and end up hauled off. He says to them, and in that day, He's talking about this day, the day of His resurrection. He said, in that day, He said, you will ask Me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He might give it to you. You never know. He said, He will give you. He will. When you ask for it, He will give it to you. He didn't say, maybe sometime, or you just never know when He might give it to you. Maybe 20 years later. You see, when we didn't believe we have it, we're pushing it down the road. Too many Christians have hope and call it faith. It's always down the road in the future someplace. They're going to receive it down there sometime. Sometime down the road, I'll get it. Sometime the road, we'll have this. Sometime down the road, we'll get that. That's hope. No, you have to get the title. And see, people wonder why, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. No, you're not. You're not waiting on God. Most of the average time, the person's not waiting on God. God's waiting on them. God's waiting on them to believe that they got it. Now they hold the title. Now it can come to pass. Not until. You can't get it until you believe you have it. You hold the title. He has given it to me. And every day you ought to be thanking God. My God. I'll tell you what, if like in here, whether it's healing or money or whatever it is, I think about that. Lord, I just want to thank You so much for healing me. I don't care if I'm limping. God, I am so glad You've healed me. I'm just so glad. Thank You so much for healing me. I'm just glad. I don't ever talk, well, I'm believing for healing. I'm believing for it. No, I'm not believing for it. I believe I have it. If you believe you got it, you've got to change your voice to what you said you believe. You're supposed to confess what you believe, not what you have. The Bible says, you can have what you say, and people are saying what they have. Their confession all the time is about what they got. But the Bible says you can have what you say. Well, if I'm confessing what I got, wouldn't she be surprised? It don't change. Shouldn't surprise me at all. Why? It's your faith talking. Hallelujah. Thank God the weak says I'm strong. Except when. Hallelujah. Well, it might sound like I'm lying. Well, you have a choice. You either agree with God or you agree with the flesh. One of the two. I wonder who's lying. God says you're healed. You say, no, no. If I was healed, I'd feel better. You see, we can train ourselves to believe in the things we cannot see. They become so real to us, I can't see it another way. That's the way it should be. I can't see it. I can't see it another way. I can't see it. See, it's just like me. I've over the years, you know, sometimes I've had people come and say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I know this. They aren't a person who walks around, confesses their salvation and don't confess. They always talk about how they feel about things and how they do. And after a while, they're feeling terrible. Well, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. Well, I mean, I'm saved, hallelujah, full of the Holy Ghost. I'm a child of God. This is what I am. I don't talk any different about it. I don't care how I feel in the morning. That don't matter to me what I feel. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm backslid. I'm a child of God. I don't care how I feel. When push comes to shove, what I have put in me comes out of me.
Amen.
When push comes to shove, most people have come out of them what they don't recognize. Because they have not built themselves in it. They have a different way of talking about life. They have a different way of talking about things. You know, as Christopher Long talked about this thing, one of the things he talked about, him and his wife, he said, we never talk about lack or want in our house. Never talk about it. It's not allowed to be talked about. Well, why would you? If these scriptures are true, how could you have lack and want and believe it? Other than you don't believe these scriptures. Now think about that. Think about it. You want to change the world around you, you've got to start change you and change what you say. We're trying to change the world so we can change. That ain't how it works. That's not how it works. It's not how faith works. It's not changing me. When I change and I get in line with the Word, then I can change things around me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it's just like me. I mean, I just have to laugh at them. They look out here in the world and people they work with and it's like, oh, these people, they're just crazy. And what do you expect out of sinners, you knucklehead? They're sinners. See, all I see out of it is, you're part of the crowd. Why would we act? I didn't expect the sinners to act like that. I was a sinner. And I'm going to tell you what. I was good at it. I was a good sinner. I loved driving these Christians crazy who could not stand anything happening around them bad or said wrong or anything. I loved that. Because you could go antagonize them and they go home and worry and they're all upset. And I was at work and they did this to me and they said this. I was the guy doing it. I looked forward to tormenting them. Why? Because they didn't have no faith. They didn't understand faith. Don't matter what they say or what they do. It don't matter. I'm a child of God. What I'm going to do? Just smile and go on. You're going to change them, criticize them. You're going to change them, run them down. You know, I saw that so much. You know, it's like the guy that told me, I've told you about it, you know, I got saved and he said, I never thought you'd get saved. See, I expected that out of him because he just run around criticizing sinners all the time. See, I was just too bad to get saved. Hallelujah. And I'm the guy God picked. Hallelujah. Probably because he said that. Yeah. Don't bother me. Out here in this world, we're living in a world. It's crazy. I have faith because it's to change what I'm seeing, not criticizing what I see. Faith is about changing the things that I see. To start calling things that don't exist as though they do. This stuff's working. The words are working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I always watch people work. You know, about jobs and doing things when you're on a job and shifting jobs and this stuff. And see, I learned about faith. And I just say, I'm blessed. I'll make more money. They'll open up a position for me to get into. Holy Spirit. Well, I can't ever get over here. I don't know. They don't, you know, they criticize me because I'm a Christian. I said, I'm a good worker. I said, they might not like me as a Christian, but they know I work. So I said, but I'm believing God that I'm going to be, I'm believing God I'll get something better. I'm believing God I'm moving. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. And I always got blessed. I always got blessed. I didn't sit around and criticize and run them down more. I did that when I was a sinner. I did enough then that I don't have to do it now. I have, my basket's full from that time. I got a full basket from that time. I don't have to criticize. Hallelujah. You know? Glory to God. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing. Ask and you will receive that your joy will be full. Now, I want to read something to you about what Jesus said, but it's in 1 John, as John wrote it. But I want you to see what John said. See, when you read 1 John, I want you to see, because John's opening to 1 John is hugely important. Because you can sit around and look down in here and what's said after this. But I'm going to read you the first three verses because of what John said in his opening that you can know about this letter and the status of this letter that's written here. He starts off, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, who's he talking about? Jesus. This is the one he walked with. He was from the beginning, Jesus was. He came into this earth. They heard what he taught. We have seen with our eyes. We saw him. We've looked upon him. Our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He said the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested with us. The purpose of the 12 apostles was for this purpose. Their testimony was different than any other apostle in the Bible. Because they had personally walked with Jesus, they identified the fact that they were. That was their message. The Apostle Paul couldn't have that message. He never walked with Jesus with the earth. He never handled him or touched him. He saw him in a vision, but he never walked with him. He never sat under Jesus' teaching. Now, listen with verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. What? That what we've seen and we heard. In other words, what I've saw and heard this him do, this is what I'm going to declare to you. This is what he's going to write about, what he's already seen and heard. In other words, these are the teachings that they got of Jesus. Now listen to what he says. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his son, Jesus Christ. The fellowship he's talking about here, it ain't getting together for lunch and talking. Hey, nothing wrong with doing that. That's not the fellowship. See, I have fellowship. If you aren't in fellowship with the Word, you aren't in the same fellowship Jesus is in. And you ain't in the same fellowship John was in. Our fellowship is by being in line with the Word. He's talking about fellowshipping with Jesus in the Word. That's what he is. He's the Word. Believing what Jesus taught, believing what Jesus said, believing those things. That's what the fellowship is. See, we always use, when we think of fellowship, we always think of a natural thing. It's not. The church is out here having all kind of fellowship stuff, but are they walking better with Jesus? Not. All kind of natural stuff. Well, it'll wholly change when people walk right. This is why when you go over to the fifth verse, he's going to tell you something because he was taught this by Jesus. He's wrote down the things that he was taught. You go read the things that he taught. Like he talks, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen. See, there's things that Jesus taught them. Jesus taught about loving your brethren. Yeah. See, there's things that Jesus spoke to them and taught them. Jesus said, you know, if you love me, I'll keep your word. You keep my word. Mm-hmm. See, people say, I love Jesus, and they don't walk in the word. They don't follow the word. They don't love Jesus. See, God is impressed by what you say. Sitting around talking, and that's actually me telling Wanda I love her, but I'm living with somebody else. You know, and I love you, honey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus ain't impressed. Listen in 1 John the 5th chapter, verse 14. This is what is being taught here. These are wonderful scriptures. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Are you convinced that He hears you when you pray? I've heard some people, and they had a prayer meeting and that stuff, and somebody asked them about thing at a prayer meeting. Well, we feel that God heard us. And I thought, they talked about it in a way they weren't so sure. Why'd you have a prayer meeting you didn't think God was going to hear you anyhow? You know, stay home. Stay home and make some confessions. You get yourself in faith, then go have a prayer meeting. But ain't no point in praying and not sure if it's working. Uh-huh. Now, then he says this. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. Whatever we ask. Whatever? Surely there had to be a mistake there. Whatever? Now, are you sure about that? We know that we what? Have the petitions. He said we know we have them. Is have? Is that future tense? No, it's not future tense. We know we have it. Why? When you ask for it. We know we have it. When we ask for it. We know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We know we got them. So when you leave prayer, it should be you should get up and do a little jig and a dance and woo-hoo-hoo! I got it. No. Well, we're just waiting on the Lord. You just don't know. Oh, we get a nice serious way to talk. No, get up, give a shout, and go run around the room for a while and act like God's real sometime. It might do something for you. Hallelujah. I know how to do that. I know how to get up and dance and shout and everything else. And I want to tell you, the roof's falling on me and I'm dancing and shouting like it ain't. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm delivered. Amen. Say, you don't look delivered. Ha ha. Just keep watching. I got the title of deliverance. Hallelujah. I got it. It's mine. Hallelujah. So you got to keep yourself in that thing. Keep yourself. Amen. Keep yourself over there. Hallelujah. Talk about yourself. See, I want to get over here. I was going to do something about James today, but we're not going to go there. But I want you to get this thing. It's for your own sake. Because in life, the Bible talks, there's tests, there's trials, there's things we go through. But starting to learn to set about yourself and around you. Because there's always people around you, there are things that are running the wrong way from people. Do you ever name it? But you got to start setting your atmosphere and your beliefs. You got to start setting that around yourself. You got to learn to what you can change, what's not yours. Mm-hmm. But what you can change. See, people have learned this, you know, because people could try to make your life miserable. They'll try to, you know, they do things try to make your life miserable. You have to learn to set an atmosphere around you. You let them see, because if you hold titles to things and you really believe you do, what they're doing around you isn't, that won't be, no, hallelujah, I'm going to succeed no matter what they do. It doesn't matter. See, we got to get ourselves over there in what we're saying and doing. We got to get into this thing. See, when I was a young Christian, come in the kingdom, you know, they talked about these things and doing this stuff. And today, people have lost it completely. They've come through those times, but they lost the teaching. Somehow they think they're walking into teachings of past years. They don't even know what they are. They don't, you know. See, we set an atmosphere around us. Because I'm going to tell you, when you walk over in the areas of faith, you become a target for the devil. You do. The devil out here, you know, a lot of times we see, this was that, you know, if we look at the Psalms, David would start off the top, man, looks like the sinner's doing better than we are. Looks like, you get that. You look out here today, well, look at our nation, look at the things going on. Well, what I'm doing is when I'm looking in that manner, I'm doing something about around myself. And I start to speak about those things as if, you know, well, the devil's winning. Looks like he's winning. Well, I have people, you know, I don't know if it'd do any good to pray for this nation, but I don't know if it'd do any good to pray for you anymore either. You know, God's big, but he ain't that big. Number one, if God can't change you, he can't change any. You can, reaching out beyond ain't going to do nothing. Why? Because God works through people. We have the dominion. See, we have the dominion. We can't look at it. You can't. Look, there's ugly going on. You know, I don't sit and fuss with people about Biden. I don't ever fuss with people and talking and they get over and about President Biden. Look, the poor man don't know if he's coming, he's going. He don't know if he has drawers on backwards or not. He ain't got an idea. Now, look, I say, this poor man is on his way to hell and he has already one foot in it. He's leaving. And he ain't going to go to heaven as he is. He don't need Ed. He don't need Ed just running things down. He's in all the trouble of the world. What I need to do is in the middle of all of his nuts, I need to maintain my joy. I need to keep my faith running. Amen. I need not get depressed. I need not to worry. I'm just going to say this to you. Worried prayers will not be answered. Worried prayers are not faith. I don't care how much you worry. We're praying. No. No. What God say? His word abides in you. You can ask whatever you want. Say, God, I'm going to glorify you. You said you're going to bless me. All this is falling around. All of it looks like it's falling around me. I'll tell you what, when the smoke clears, Ed's standing.
Amen.
When the smoke clears, it's number one. Somebody's got to be, I can't be part of the dust.
Amen.
I can't be part of the dust. Hallelujah. We're what stands.
Hallelujah.
The righteous will stand. The righteous will stand. Righteousness is always by faith. It's a person in faith will stand. I may be the righteous God saved, but if I don't walk a righteous life or live or talk the righteous life,
amen,
I'm going to get run over by the bus, you know. What we do is we walk. We talk about God's able to take care of me. God's able to look after me. You know, back when Obama, you know, it's number one, pay attention who you're behind and who you're with and what. You know, when the Lord hooked me up with Randall Greer Ministries, one of the things that the Lord said concerning that, he spoke to Randall Greer, and Randall Greer said it out. It's one of the things that he sent out, and he said this. He said the Lord told him, because that time there was things going on economically that weren't good. He said, the Lord said to tell the people who support him or behind him, don't worry, that whoever's in his boat, God's going to take care of them. You know whose boat you're in? Hallelujah. Well, we give to that ministry. See, I walked in faith. You know when Obama took over and the economy started to go? You know what? I said, Lord, I don't expect to lose a nickel. I said, you said through the prophet. And I said, I know you said it to him. Whoever's in his boat, in his boat, they're going to be fine. I said, I'm going to be fine. So you won't get me to talk any different. See, he goes, well, this economy is going and this is that, this is that. During the Obama administration, Wanda and I gained financially. Loads of people didn't. But see, we set our course with our mouth. Hallelujah. See, this church is in a boat. And the prophet said something, and I'm standing on that. And you know what? He spoke to that to us again. He said, don't worry about it. Because you know what? Things in the economy are going to get hit. Oh my, there's going to be a lot of wailing Christians. They ain't got no confession ahead of time. They're complaining about the government. They're complaining. No, hallelujah. Wanda and I are just going to do fine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're just going to do fine. Glory to God. We're blessed. Why? Because I'm standing. The prophet spoke it. I'm standing on that. I ain't going to be moved from. I'm going to be blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I ain't going under.
Amen.
This is what happens. Things go wrong and then people want to start doing the right stuff. Well, you're already behind. Your seed ain't been planted out there. Your seed, you know, you're trying to gain a harvest. Ain't had time to grow yet. This is why you want to maintain certain confession and way of life of things. You build something around you. You have it all the time. You don't try to build a fortification wall in the middle of the fight. It don't go well. You don't try. This was the United States. Entered the Second World War. Weren't ready for it at all. It took them years to train soldiers and get them up good enough so they could get in and win the battles. Why? Because they were like Christianity. They sit around and wait till everything falls apart. Then I'm going to get to be a good Christian now. I'm going to start confessing around me and that stuff. No, you build that stuff around you now. You have dominion. You start saying the things around you now. Start speaking around you now. Hallelujah. You know, my children and grandchildren ain't going to hell.
That's right.
I don't care if it looks like they are. I don't give a rip.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I'm a man of dominion. And the devil's going to have to put up with me as long as I'm here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Makes him nervous. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. We're all going to heaven. Hallelujah. We're all going to be in heaven. That's where we're going to be. You know? Sometimes they do crazy, but I don't pay no attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I got my word out there. Hallelujah. I got a title. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
When it looks ugly, We don't talk about the ugly, we laugh about it. Say, did you see what they did? They're crazy. Praise God, but it's all going to get straightened out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's where you need to come through. Hallelujah. You need to arrive at the point. You need to arrive at that place. Hallelujah. And you do that. It's over time. Saying the right things. Building around you what you want to, what you, your faith can see. See, your faith, you see stuff and you want. You want things to have a certain end. Well, they don't happen because you want to see it. You want to get, you have to have faith. You got to get the title of it. Get into the Word. Get yourself over where you can believe and take a hold. Hallelujah. And when you prayed, well, people just wear themselves out in prayer. Instead of spending the time to praying about things that really need prayed about, people are just constantly praying about the same things over and 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 over. And they're just going to keep doing it till it changes. And they think that all that praying would make a change. In other words, my good old prayer works. That's what does it. Prayer works. I got my prayer works, you know. I did enough prayer works. See, if I do it enough times and I do it, finally God has this number that I have to hit in prayer. And He's got, and when I hit that, it's the magic number and this angel goes, bingo! And they bring the ham out to me. That's what people get this idea. They do. They think, you just keep, you know. You know, it's a funny thing. I read you scriptures there when it says about ask and you shall receive. I hear ministers preach that means to keep on asking. It does not. It never says that at all. There's no way that believes that. I have heard numbers and numbers of ministers. They preach it like that. You just keep on asking. You don't ever believe you got it. You don't ever believe God gave it to you. You don't ever believe you received it. You just keep asking till it shows up. When it shows up, then. When you can see it, you don't need no faith. It don't take you any faith to believe what you got. Does it? You know, I don't have 1 ounce of faith. I got a car out there sitting alone. I don't have an ounce of faith. I don't need none. It's sitting out there. Well, there's no faith for that. The church is full of people having faith in what they got. What to see? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, you might sit in your life and say, well, you know, I'm just sort of content the way of that. Then believe for stuff for others then. Put your faith out and give somebody else something. Hallelujah. You know, believe for something else. Go further. See, people limit their faith. They just, well, where I'm at, I'm good right now, and so I don't have to. Well, use your faith. You don't ever turn. You always want to keep using your faith. You always want to continue. Hallelujah. Is using your faith. I can't see Jesus, you know, walking. Well, you know, the ministry's been going pretty good, so I think we're just going to go sit down and relax. We're good. Yeah, everything's cool. We ain't going to use faith next week. What do you think? We won't do that. Hallelujah. I encourage you, though, to meditate on those scriptures. Meditate. Get them and meditate till it becomes so real to you when you ask God, I ask Him. This is what He said, and He will not lie. So it comes to you, you can't see it no different. Amen. You can't see it any different. If God said I have it, don't tell me no different. Don't try to talk to me. Don't come to me with an excuse. You know, because I can offend people because I'll say, oh, you think God lied about that? Huh, how about that? God lied. You're right. Well, we'll start worshiping you tomorrow. My God, we'll make a shrine for you and everything. My God. I'm smarter than God. Hallelujah. I really appreciate it because it was back many years ago seeing when, what's his name from, it was in South Africa, John G. Lake. John G. Lake said, if Jesus said it, he said, I don't need to hear another thing about it. He said, if Jesus said it, he said, that's all I need. That's it. I don't need another conversation on it. I don't need another. Jesus said it. That's it. And you know, I'm so glad I heard that, because when I looked in Scripture and I realized we talk, well, this Scripture here was breathed by the Spirit of God. Well, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He magnifies you. And if it was, and the Scripture show me something, there's not another thing to be said about it. There's not another thing to be said. I don't need to sit. I don't meditate to try to figure out what God's saying. Number one, I believe what God said. I want to get the depth of the truth of it in me, where there's no change within me what it means. it's what it is. Where I get to the point, I believe it and don't doubt it. When I get to the point, I don't care what anybody else says about it. Now I'm ready to receive it. See, many people are making confessions and prayers do not have the ability to receive. They can't do it. They don't have the faith to do it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody starts it. There's many times of things that I stop, that there's things I want to believe God for. I don't go out after and pray about it for a long time. I will turn around and get myself till I'm ready to release. I'm ready to take a hold of it and say, that's mine now. That belongs to me. We don't do that. We have today, it's the American way. Everything has to be done instantly. Or my flesh can't take it, and you know, I have to have everything done right now. This is why you work on things in advance. You don't wait till the problem comes. You get yourself set to, you know how to be in faith, so when the problem comes, you know how to step right into it.
Amen.
You don't need to go to war when you need basic training. This is the average Christian. They'll do this year after year. They never build themselves up. Battle comes. They ain't ready for it. They're fighting, trying to get through. They finally get a little set of it. Another battle comes. They still ain't ready for it. There's no training. There's people who don't stay with stuff. This takes training. It takes time. It takes time to get yourself over where, you know, I don't believe that anymore. I believe God's Word. I have experiences, but they don't line up with the Word. I've experienced some things, and I've experienced them because of my own troubles. I've experienced them because of me. I didn't experience them because of God.
Amen.
God didn't bring this anything on to me to try to teach me. That's called the devil. Jesus said this, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I hear people do this all the time. Well, God had a purpose in letting this happen. He did. Tell me what the purpose was. Never one time can I ever a person ever tell me what the purpose was. Never once. I never heard. Well, he wanted me to learn. Oh, is this the way he beat you? To get you to learn. Because you're such a hard head. Well, hey, come on. You know, I'm sorry. I just think like this. I think about, Ed, are you so dumb that you have to have a rock fall on your head to get your attention? Sometimes I had. And I let the devil throw the rock. I've learned this. I don't blame God for throwing the rock. He's the one that gets Ed's out of his messes. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just going to encourage you. You take your victory. You take it. You start changing the way you think about things. Change the way you think about God and His response to you. These scriptures about His response to you, coming and asking Him. This is about how He responds to you. This is what Scripture says, how He responds to you. You the saint. This is the way He responds to you. That's a phenomenal thing. Now, naturally, it almost seems crazy that the God, the creator of everything, this eternal being, could be so focused on each one individually of what we ask and what we do, that He is interested. I mean, He's phenomenal. He's absolutely incredible. See, you can't think about this stuff in the natural mind. The revelation of these things can only be understood in the heart. You can't understand the depth of it in your mind. There's things in me about God that I would just wish that my mind could get some kind of understanding, because I know His greatness is phenomenal. But He is not too big to be personal and live in it. What? See, well, how does God live in everybody? I don't know. The Bible says so, and I'm stupid. I believe it. So let me alone. I'm having fun. You want me to explain it to you? Forget it. Get saved. You might understand it sometime. You never know. I don't know how to explain it to you. I just, you know, see, that's what it, 1 John's a wonderful book because John wrote all these things about we know we pass from death unto life. See, I know I'm saved. I'm not, hey, I've heard, I go to Christians and say, are you saved? Yeah, I believed on Jesus. I don't ever say that. I know I'm saved. I pass from death unto life. I know the Holy Ghost lives in me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. I'm not operating in faith to be saved. It done happened.
Hallelujah.
I'm not in faith to be saved. That's already taken place. I've already, hallelujah. I changed camps a long time ago. I'm not trying to believe to be saved anymore. It's just people. I'm just trying to believe. I'm just trying to believe. Get over yourself. Trying to believe. I ain't trying to believe nothing. Hallelujah. I know.
Amen.
Glory to God. John says a number of times what he knows. See, you get over there, you ought to come to that knowing. See, many Christians never come to knowing. See, I know I'm healed. Amen. I know it. I know it because the Bible says himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. By his stripes I was healed, so I know I'm healed. I know it. I'm not trying to get healed. I know I'm healed. Before I ever go, I always thank God. God, I know I'm well. Hallelujah. You already took my infirmity and bore my sickness. I just want to thank you for doing that. Hallelujah. I know. I know I passed from death unto life. I know it. How do you know? Well, the Bible said so. His word abides in me. I abide in his word. I can ask whatever I want. And I'll get it. Woo! My God, you can't take a running spell on that. You can't get a shout out of that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How can you stay silent?
Amen.
See, you need to get the shout on your lips. God is good. Father, I just want to thank you today. Hallelujah. Because you're great. You're absolutely phenomenal. Lord, none of this exists without you. Hallelujah. It would just be the dreams of men. But Lord God, we're not living in a dream world. We're living in the reality. Hallelujah. The reality of the kingdom of God. It's real and it's in us and we're in it. Hallelujah. We're children of God. Hallelujah. Lord, you set before us such a glorious, glorious table. Lord God, filled with your glory. And Lord, you said, you put all this out here. You delivered us of the curse and you set us at a table of the blessing. And you said, whatever you want of the blessing, just ask it, it's yours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever blessing you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. All we got to do is receive it and believe it's ours. God, you made it so simple. People have stumbled over it, fallen over it. Oh, because we just got to become these great intellects. Oh, Lord God, you said you haven't chosen many wise. And so we're standing here today. We know we're not the bright people in the crowd. Hallelujah. We're the fools for Jesus. We're the ones that believe this ridiculous stuff about what we can't see is true. And Lord to God, you bring it to pass for us. Oh, I always think about it. Hallelujah. Because the word says, the good work that you started in, you'll bring it to completion. Hallelujah. Lord God, in my mind says, boy, you got your hands full. But Lord God, my heart knows it's true and you're working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your words are working. Hallelujah. Lord God, it seems sometimes from the natural standpoint, oh, what I'm going to do. But Lord God, I know in the inside you're working. You're bringing things to a completion in the name of Jesus. Father, I know this. I know this without a doubt. Father, there's a great shakings going on. There's things, Lord God, there's a tremblings in this earth. Things are going to happen. Things are really going to get shaken up. But Lord God, I know this. Hallelujah. The one that I've committed to, he's well able to keep me. What I've committed to him until that day. You're going to take care of us. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just want to thank you that I can trust you. Lord, you're going to do mighty and wonderful things. In the midst of trouble, there's many great things are going to happen. Many are going to come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's many young people going to come into the kingdom. Many, many, many young people are going to come into the kingdom. Many, many. Hordes and hordes of them are going to come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. There are people in the search. And they don't have decent adults to talk to. They don't have parents with any wisdom. They don't have no, oh, Lord God. But they're searching. They want something. Hallelujah. They know that there's a need for something greater that has been given to them. And hallelujah, they're going to come to know the one that can do it. They're going to come to the greater one. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you, Father. Lord God, I thank you we get to live in this day. We get to live in this time and day and to walk with faith. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, it comes to my mind that Kenneth Hagin said, he said, when you're facing great trials and great temptations, he said, Lord, he said this, you just thank God it's another opportunity to use your faith. I thank you, Lord, we've gotten lots of opportunities to use our faith. I thank you, Lord God, that we have lots of opportunity to walk by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you. I live in a day, Lord God, there ain't no other way to walk in the kingdom but by faith. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, the light around's collapsing. Lord God, we're about the end of the funnel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we're walking in the place, so that's the place of faith. The place of light is the place of faith. Hallelujah. And we're in the light as you're in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's in the light. In the light. In the light. Oh, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. Ah, thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray that today you quicken these scriptures to the hearts of each one today. Amen. They become alive. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that they get studious to go look them over and over and over. Lord God, do they become so real to them that they're so confident, hallelujah, that what they ask belongs to them. Hallelujah. Lord, that they can't see it in any other way. Lord God, that their trust is completely in you. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, Jesus, we want you glorified. We want to bear a lot of good fruit, good faith fruit, hallelujah, in our lives. Father, we want you magnified, Lord, that people see us, hallelujah. There's a wonderful God in heaven. There's a wonderful God that loves them. There's a wonderful God who'll do the same for them. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.